are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
For many men, the idea of addressing conflict head-on can feel uncomfortable or even unnecessary. But learning healthy conflict resolution is a game-changer in marriages, in friendships, and even in spiritual communities. It's not about winning. It's about growing together with honesty and grace and wisdom. And so we want to have this conversation about learning how to resolve conflict right. And Dr. Mutanga joins us on the line to have this conversation. My elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, Elder. Thank you so much. We are happy to have you on the program this morning. I hope that you've had a good weekend.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, let's get straight into it. Why do some men seem to avoid conflict, and how can this affect their relationships in the long run?
There are so many reasons, but let me just give a few of the reasons why they may do so. Mm-hmm. Of course, it differs with individuals.
Yeah. All right. It looks like we have lost our connection.
Ouch.
There. Okay. We've got you back. Sorry.
I'm back now.
Yes.
Sorry. Self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And then inadequate communication skills. You know, men and women, we are different when it comes to, you know, being articulate when we say things.
Yeah.
And men are also afraid of rejection.
Yes.
At times, because of cultural inclinations, we fear being disapproved, mm-hmm. and we don't want to be criticized. Hence, these are some of the reasons that I think will really make some people to avoid being in conflict.
Right. And so a lot of people just wash over or try to ignore the conflict. I find that interesting because I feel like women have those same fears. So I've always wondered why it seems like for men in particular, it's so much more intense than for women. Because women also fear. We fear rejection. We fear we don't treat
people
being criticized and things like that. So what is it that makes it such an intense fear for men?
I find it more, from my assessment, more cultural.
Okay.
Because when I was growing up as a boy, you are told you are a man.
Yeah.
You don't need to cry. You don't need to do this and that. You are different. And hence, we hide our emotions. And in most cases, there is conflict avoidance.
Yeah. And I guess that
yet,
any kind of expression of your emotions is seen as weak or is seen as feminine.
Yes. That's very true. Yes. But the fact is when there is conflict avoidance, you are suppressing your emotions. And when you suppress them, they don't just die.
Right.
You are suppressing something that is still alive.
Sure.
Eventually, this causes pain because we have not resolved anything.
Yeah.
And at times, this may lead to overreaction later.
Yes.
Because at times you wonder, why this person is overreacting? It's because someone has been suppressing or avoiding to deal with a certain situation in life. Yes.
Sure.
And at times when you don't resolve some of these issues, there is also this idea of reinforcing irrational fears. You are sort of like, maybe it's not true. You know, at times when there are conflicts, at times it's as a result of perception. But when you engage somebody, you may get the truth out of it, and then, you know, you are relieved. But at times when you have not engaged, it will still lead you to have some of those irrational fears alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And so now, what are some biblical principles that can guide men in resolving conflict in an effective way?
I was just thinking of the Matthew chapter 18, which talks about, you know, moments when we face challenges in our lives, what we are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. When we are resolving conflicts, we are aged, suppose someone does something that is wrong, you need to engage that particular individual on one-on-one basis.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's private, and your goal is to try and resolve an issue.
Right.
You are trying to look for a solution. But then Matthew 18 also suggests that this person may say, well, I'm not interested. Then you may also want to look for a mediator.
Right.
One person will be there to assist you. And if still a mediator will not help, you look for, you go to the church where there are more people who can assist, because you are still close by. But if the person still insists, then you are no longer accountable. You just want to treat this person like someone who is not ready to be helped.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I like that it actually addresses the possibility that it might not end, you know, the conflict resolution attempts may not end in a reconciliation or anything like that. It's very realistic about the fact that maybe even after your efforts, the other person might still not be willing, but it's important for you to do your part.
Yes. So in other words, as you do that, you also get the relief.
Yes.
You are sort of like you have done your part.
Yes.
Because when there are two conflicting parties, there's the likelihood that you are also affected by that relationship, which is not normal.
Mm.
Yeah. But then when you have had an opportunity to try and address it, you feel relieved, though the other person may not really agree to, you know, your initiative.
Yeah.
So I found that quite interesting, because it's important for us to resolve issues, because when we don't resolve them, we miss also an opportunity for growth.
Right.
Actually, as you are trying to resolve this, you are also gaining some skills of conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are sort of like getting into the reality of trying to resolve things.
Yeah.
And at times you'll be having some fears of saying, what happens if this person may not, may not respond to for you to get a win-win situation? Because yes. I think that's the goal.
Yes, that's the goal
when you are doing when you want to resolve a conflict.
Yeah.
So the win-win situation is something that you look forward, not to a win-lose situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in a win-lose situation, everybody ends up losing.
That's powerful.
Yeah, both of you will end up losing. You lose maybe the friendship Well, that's the other person may really feel bad about being exposed. Hence, it's important that this process must be carried on.
That's powerful. I think that's a beautiful point. In a win-lose situation, everybody ends up losing. And I think sometimes that's what makes the resolution so difficult to be had, because everyone wants their point to be the winner, and without regard for how it's going to make the other person feel. So I'm not interested in how you feel. I'm not interested in your perspective, but I want you to know my perspective, and that obviously doesn't lead to any kind of resolution. Now, how can men create safe spaces for open and respectful communication, especially with their partners?
Yeah, now coming to marriage, marriage would require a lot of open communication.
Right.
Where everybody, you must have some ways where you will agree that when we have challenges here, this is the way we manage, the way we relate to one another.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite authors that that has always helped me, especially when it comes to family matters, is suggested this, that, you know, open communication is very, very important when it comes to the relationship in the family setting. Mm. When there is a conflict, the person suggests that you need to find the right time to resolve issues.
Okay.
And in our families, at times we don't have time. Mm-hmm. Of times we need to avoid. So we look for other things that can occupy us so that we avoid resolving family issues.
Right.
And the person also talks about having the right time. That means at times when we have some challenges, maybe with my wife during the day, we may not need to resolve it at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Where someone would say, what were you saying yesterday? Because at times you just need to resolve it there and there. Or if should you decide to solve it later, agree on the time frame.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is so essential. And at times we need also to look for the right place. Because in most cases, our bedrooms have been turned into courtrooms.
Ish.
Where at times, the bedroom is a place to sleep, but not to be dealing with issues.
Yeah.
So we need also to find time, go to the park, go to some other place, public place, where the two of you can still communicate on some of those issues. You find the way you relate to one another in some of those places will be different than the bedroom.
That's true.
And the author also talks about using the right tone.
Mm-hmm.
Our voices are so important. The way we say, we will be showing that we are either respecting and having the right attitude. But when one shouts at the other person, then it's quite a challenge.
Yeah.
And also what I got from this author is we also need to learn how to confront.
Mm-hmm.
Confrontation is not always easy to confront the other person, yet it's a skill that is supposed to be, gotten when it comes to conflict resolution.
All right. That's very interesting. And I think one thing that's very important is humility when it comes to any kind of conflict resolution. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? What role does humility play in learning to resolve disagreements, regardless of what relationship it might be?
What humility may mean to me is at times before we resolve an issue, we need to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. What we mean by thinking about it is you need also to be liable to open criticism. You know, in conflict resolution, at times you may think you are the right person.
True.
Yet at times when you get the facts from the other end, you, at the end of the day, realize that you are the one that was wrong.
Yeah.
And humility would mean that you should be prepared to apologize, to say, I am sorry, and also to be open to criticism,
mm-hmm.
for some of those things to be said out where you could be wrong.
Yeah.
So, and also humility would also allow you to let the other person know that you are not dissatisfied with the entire relationship. Let me say, if my wife wrongs me, she has done something. You know, that something does not necessarily mean that she is someone who is abominable to me.
Right.
Yeah, I should not judge her entire life based on that one thing that she has done wrong. There are other things that she does well, so I'm not dissatisfied with the entire person.
Yes.
But I'm just looking at this thing that has not gone well.
Yes.
And it needs to be addressed.
Mm.
That calls upon one to be humble and to have humility.
Yeah, I think that all or nothing mentality, I think, is very pervasive in a lot of our relationships, where if I'm dissatisfied with one thing, then it seems like I'm dissatisfied with the entire thing, with the entire relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it, and I think that's where humility also comes in, to be able to say,
mm-hmm.
even though this thing has happened that has bothered me, or that has maybe even offended me, mm-hmm. could be something quite abominable, but in humility, mm-hmm. I'm able to say, regardless of that, I actually still care about this person. I still love this person. This person is still my, whether that's your mm-hmm. husband, your wife, your friend, your colleague, mm-hmm. your neighbor, you're mm-hmm. putting the relationship above the that specific hurt that has been done to you. So I think that's an important point. That's a very important one. How would you say men can learn from past conflicts and grow into better communicators and listeners? I know you touched on this a little bit earlier when you were saying that with each conflict that's resolved, you're learning lessons on how to resolve conflicts in the future. But how exactly does that happen, and how can men learn from the past?
Mm-hmm. So whenever you are engaged in dealing with something, it's obvious that as I indicated, you are relieved. That means you don't have any history.
Mm.
You'll have, taken care of something. But if you have used avoidance, it means that some of these things will keep piling up. And you are just going to use them maybe at times at the wrong time.
Mm.
You'll have a wrong time because of these accumulating emotions. And at times, you even fail to state your complaint objectively.
Right.
And at times, you are not even kind. And you don't look for the right place or that privacy where you can resolve an issue with somebody. That can actually miss in some of the conversations if you have not resolved some of these issues.
Mm.
So the experience that you will get will help you.
All right.
Because I know some people have said at times, silence is golden, isn't it?
Yes, I've heard that.
Yet at times, we have not seen also the negative part of being silent.
Hey.
So we should try and avoid at times this golden silence where we are supposed to put things across clearly.
Yeah.
So that my wife or whoever my father will know exactly how I am feeling.
Exactly.
Yes. And of course, I should have mentioned this. At times, we also need to know how to say things out. Okay. Because when we are in conflict resolution, we need to express our feelings rather than to accuse the other person. So okay. It's a skill.
Okay.
It's a skill that must be learned.
Yeah.
Where you are respecting the other person
yes.
by saying it in a polite way.
Yeah.
And avoid accusing the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, avoiding the win-lose situation.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much, my elder, for that lesson. I think that's an important one for each and every one of us to learn. Learning to express your feelings without being accusatory in our tone, in our words, in our messaging, to be able to express how I am feeling, how an action has made me feel, rather than accusing the other person of whatever that action might have been, is an important one. Would you say it's also important?
Yes.
Suppose, you know, when we're talking about conflict resolution, sometimes the other person is the one who's trying to resolve the conflict with us. I think our conversation has focused very much on what I need to do when I am trying to resolve this conflict. But when the other person has come to me, what is the role that I play in terms of how can I be receptive to any criticism mm-hmm. that might come my way? Or maybe the other person is trying to, maybe they're not listening here this morning and they don't know how to frame their words in a way that is not, and they come to me and it sounds mm-hmm. accusatory. I feel like defending myself. How should I receive that critique when someone comes to me and says, listen, Bongi, this is what you did and it offended me. I don't like how you did this. How should I respond to that?
It's quite intriguing because when somebody is already coming with such kind of attitude,
mm-hmm.
It calls upon, like the previous question that you had asked me is, what have you learned from past conflict resolutions?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we will learn from that is people are different.
Okay.
And people have different attitudes. People have, particularly, it could be in a workplace, you should have that emotional intelligence where emotional intelligence would actually require you to know yourself
mm-hmm.
before you respond to other people. So you need to know your emotions.
Okay.
If someone is just coming to accuse you and you know your emotions, that you will easily respond back. That means you just need to manage yourself and probably say, ask this person to give you more time, or maybe say, let's talk about it later.
Okay.
Because you won't be ready. So you need to know how to manage your own emotion
mm-hmm.
and also to know your own emotion. And also to recognize emotions in others. It so happens that at times we forget that we are different.
Sure.
Yes, and this process will help you to know your own weaknesses and your own strengths, and also the strengths in others and the weaknesses in others when it comes to conflict resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that information, it will help you deal with each and every situation that you are going to meet.
All right. All right. Well, I think we can leave it there for today. Thank you so much for such a beautiful lesson. I think all of us can benefit quite a lot from this conversation in the conflicts that we face, whether that's in our homes or in our workplaces, to be able to face these conflicts head on, to not sweep them under the rug or try to suppress our emotions, but to face them in a healthy and respectful way that leads to as much of a win-win as possible. Thank you so much, my elder, for coming through.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And one thing that I have also learned is that conflicts are normal. They are a normal part of life.
Yes.
And all of us, when it comes to talking about conflicts, we are not conversant, and we are not happy talking about it. Yet these are the realities.
True.
Of life.
True.
Which we need to, at times we avoid and think we are resolving something, and hence this subject is really, really important, and we need to learn more.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you once again, Elder, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.